You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Jupiter's Great Red Spot. It's one of the most recognizable features of any planet in our solar system, right up there with Saturn's rings. And remarkably, it's a storm, a really huge storm that's been raging for hundreds of years. But it seems to be changing. Observers say it's shrinking, and they've seen wisps peeling off in recent months. So what does that mean? Amy Simons is a senior planetary scientist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Can you just describe some of the changes in the red spot that have been seen in recent months?
Sure. So we've been monitoring the Great Red Spot actually for a number of years now using the Hubble Space Telescope. And one of the things we noted was besides getting smaller, which we've observed for decades, it was actually getting much more intense in color, a very deep orange. And it turns out that at the same time it's been shrinking inward, it's actually getting taller. So it's extending higher up into the atmosphere, and we think it's being exposed to even more sunlight and ultraviolet radiation. So it's essentially getting a sunburn.
Wow. So it's actually not necessarily total volume getting smaller, but it sounds like it's kind of being squeezed, getting narrower and taller, like more of a column.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like the potter's wheel where you have your spinning clay, and if you push on it, it'll get taller. Same sort of idea.
And then some amateur astronomers have also noticed perhaps wisps, something kind of spinning off of it.
Yeah, that's a little bit confusing. And so we're looking at that now. When you're talking about this, you're talking about essentially a storm. So you're not talking about a solid object. You're talking about wind and cloud. And what we see is that the winds that go around the Great Red Spot are kind of partially responsible for the way it spins, but they also interact with it. Clouds get pulled in and they get torn apart. Sometimes they pass along, but sometimes they make these wisps. And so the question is, when we see a new one, was it something from inside the spot itself or something from the outside that just didn't get pulled all the way in?
I mean, you say a spinning storm. Is this essentially like a hurricane? How big would this be if it were on Earth?
So it is quite a bit like a hurricane, except it's not a low-pressure storm like a hurricane. It's a high-pressure storm. So it's actually an anti-hurricane or an anti-cyclone. So that's really the only difference. It's spinning the opposite direction, and it's high pressure. And this one, it started out when we were really observing it in a lot of detail, say, back when Voyager 1 or 2 flew by in the 70s. It was about three times the size of the Earth.
Wow.
And because it's been shrinking, it's now about just a little bit bigger than the Earth. But still, that concept of a storm, the size of the planet is, you know, it's mind-boggling.
A little bit mind-blowing, for sure. And it's a storm that's been going for hundreds of years, right?
Right. We've been tracking it back to see exactly when it formed, and we don't know. So we have records that go back into the 1800s, actually, and I've even used them in my research, which is a lot of fun. But it's been continuously tracked since the late 1800s. But there were reports actually in the late 1600s by Cassini and by other famous astronomers where they thought they saw a permanent spot on Jupiter.
The actual person Cassini, not the spacecraft Cassini.
Exactly, the person. very early telescopes, they were seeing what they thought was a permanent spot. But we can't prove it was the same one. It doesn't seem like it was the right size or location. It might have been a precursor. Could have been a completely different storm. We just don't know because there weren't any reports of it after the early 1700s. So there's that gap of 150 years in there. But that aside, we're still talking a storm that's lasted 150 years. And that's, you know, again, it's just crazy.
Well, Amy Simon, as a planetary scientist looking around our solar system and perhaps beyond, this idea of a storm that is larger than our planet is pretty mind-blowing. But how rare or unusual is it?
It's rare in the sense that we don't have any storms that last this long. We don't see storms like this on Saturn. We see them on Neptune. Now, the ones on Neptune can be just as big, but they don't last very long. And that's because of how the winds are set up on those planets are quite different. And so on Jupiter, the jet streams are very constant. They're always blowing the same speed in the same direction. And so they kind of confine these storms into channels, and that helps to keep them stable for so long.
And you said that you've been seeing changes in Jupiter's Great Red Spot for a decade or more in terms of changing size, the kind of wisps of stuff that we're not sure what they are. That's a more recent thing. But how surprising are any of these changes?
In some ways, they're not that surprising. When we make computer models of a storm, it's actually very hard to get them to last very long. And what we've seen is when something kind of coalesces and forms, it tends to get smaller and smaller until it breaks apart. So from that perspective, I think it's maybe not unusual. But I grew up seeing the Voyager pictures of Jupiter, you know, and as you said, the Great Red Spot's one of the most recognizable storms in the solar system. And so the idea that we can watch it changing in our lifetime is, you know, that's pretty incredible. That's teaching us a lot about how atmospheres work.
Does that mean that you think maybe we are seeing the end of Jupiter's Great Red Spot, that we could see that within our lifetime?
It's actually quite possible. The fact that it's gotten so much smaller, it's likely to do one of two things. It'll either stabilize where it is and stop shrinking, or if it continues to grow taller because it now encounters different high-level winds up at the top, it can actually get pulled apart, which is one of the ways hurricanes get broken apart on Earth. So, yeah, it's actually quite possible we could see that sort of change in our lifetime.
And as you mentioned, for those of us who grew up seeing images of this, and that's kind of our image of Jupiter, is that side of the planet with that big red spot there. It seems kind of bizarre and maybe even sad to think about that going away. But oftentimes when you talk to the people who study these things, what seems like an unfortunate event for the rest of us is actually a really exciting learning opportunity. And you already mentioned that you're already learning more about this storm. I mean, is this kind of an exciting thing for you?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, atmospheric scientists and even oceanographers, fluid dynamicists, always like to see things change because that's when we can actually test our models and test the equations. We know they're supposed to work, but if nothing is changing, it's hard to see that they're doing what we expect. So when you see a change like this, it kind of disturbs the whole region. It gives us a chance to really check those models out and check out those equations, make sure we understand everything that goes into them. So yeah, we're excited to watch it change.
And what do those models tell you about? Is it just about the atmosphere of Jupiter, or are there lessons that we could learn from the Great Red Spot that would teach us about hurricanes on Earth or storms elsewhere in the universe?
It's actually rather interesting if you look at the history of how we studied these things going way back before we had computers. Everything was on paper, and it was these incredibly complicated mathematical equations. And eventually we got to the point where we made computer models to try to model an atmosphere, model circulation. And the first of those, of course, was for the Earth. But again, computer power was quite limited. So certain things had to be hard-coded into the computer model just to make it run in a reasonable amount of time. And as we have more and more data, we find it gets harder and harder sometimes to predict climate and to predict circulation. And so having a case like Jupiter or any of the giant planets, they're sort of the same equations and different boundary conditions. We don't have land. We have different rotation rates. We're farther from the sun. So now we can put all those variables back in, and your physics should work the same on all the planets. So if we have our models correct on Earth, they should also work on Jupiter, on Mars, on any other planet. And so, yeah, having an event like this that, gee, if we can't get the model to match this and work, that's telling us we don't have all the details right in the model. And if we can fix those little things for Jupiter, we can also take them back the other direction, and that model should still work on Earth. So yeah, I think we can use these sorts of things and learn about all the planets at the same time.
Amy Simon is a senior planetary scientist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center studying Jupiter's Great Red Spot. Amy, thanks so much.
Thank you.